Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Live Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host, Elfrida Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I am going to start off by, first of all, thanking God, and I thank my family and my friends and each one of you for listening to the Love Live Jesus Ministry, because that means a lot, and I really appreciate your listening support as well as your prayers. We're going to pray, and then we're going to read a few scriptures from Matthew, or a few verses from Matthew, and then we're going to talk about, where do we go from here? Do we walk away or keep on trying? And we're going to focus on our youth males today. And I have some research that I want to share with you, as well as some of the solutions that we as a community, as parents, as adults, as educators, as just people, can help our youth in their life and their decisions. So we want to pray first, and then we will go into Scripture. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning, and you started us on our way. We thank you, Lord, for giving us a reasonable portion of our health and strength, Lord. We thank you for the courage that you have given us. We thank you for the voice that you have given us, the mind that you have filled with wisdom and knowledge from on high. We understand and recognize that we cannot do anything without you, and that we're nothing without you, but we're everything with you. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you just decrease me to zero and increase you to greatness? Would you bless the word to go out where people can begin to establish relationships within their community, so that we may help our youth and so that we may save lives and help our youth just seek successful career paths? We thank you for each challenge. We thank you for each success and victory that you have given. We thank you for the faith, the hope, the joy, the peace, the mercy, and the grace. We ask you in the name of Jesus, would you bless those individuals who are going into the hospital, those who are coming out, those who are experiencing dilemmas, those who are experiencing storms, whether they're a storm seen or unseen. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you release those particular storms and help us to seek you and seek after the word of God. We ask, as we release this prayer into the atmosphere, that we never release ourselves from your presence. And we ask, would you bless each caller who's on the line? Would you bless those who are coming and those who will listen after we have established the broadcast? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the Love Lives Jesus Ministry, for the platform. We thank you for the growth. We thank you for just everything that you're doing for us and the things that you're going to do and the people that you are sending unto us. And then, Lord, we're asking you, would you just continue to help us to uplift and empower each person who's listening right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. I want to read Matthew 6, verses 19 through 22. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to grab your Bibles. And we're going to read Matthew 6, verses 19 through 22. And it reads, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doeth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. I just read that. All right. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. I have read to you Matthew 19 through 22. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. And as I said before, I'm excited and delighted because, as you know, we're starting this new Love Talks talk show. But within this particular ministry tonight, and this will also filtrate into the Love Talks talk show, we're going to focus on our youth. And right now, if we think about society, our males are targets, and we're talking about our African-American males. And within the other race, there is also a huge problem that we must address. So it's not just one group of individuals. It's just that the thing or the main theme that we need to address is different. I want to give you some research because God says, in all thy getting, get an understanding. I want you to give some, I want to give you some research for the from the Center for Disease Control and also from Mr. Juan Williams, who is an American journalist. He's a politician, and he's with the Fox News Network. This particular research that I'm going to present to you comes from both of the sources I just named. You will find some alarming information as it relates to our African-American males, our Caucasian males, and our Hispanic males and other races. Underlying fact, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you this before we start because I want you to write it down because you really need to take this back to your communities, and this is nationwide. An underlying community within our African-American race that affects our males is homicide, murder. That is the number one cause of death among black males. I'm not going to give you the age yet. That is the number one cause. So I want you to write that down for our black males. All right. When we go down and look at our other males and our other races, the number one leading cause for males and other races, and this is across the board, is suicide. The number one leading cause among males and other races is suicide. Now, before we even rationalize what this is, we're going to have to come to grips with the statistics that I'm going to present to you tonight and also just some ideas that I prayed about and came up with on how we can take this to our community and help to bring this number down and finally to help reduce or just prevent murders and homicides. So, as I said before, the leading cause of death among black males between the ages of 15 to 34 is homicide. And that is, I want you to really, to that age group, 15 to 34 is homicide. Compared to other ethnicities, these numbers really stand out. 40%, a little bit under half, 40% of African-American males, 15 to 34, who died were murdered compared to 3.8% of white males. Now, anytime we talk about death of any race, it doesn't matter who it is, it's not good. It's not good when people lose their lives in the hands of other people. But when we look at our African-American males, I really want you to understand this number. 40% of African-American males between the ages, this is very important, ladies and gentlemen, between the ages of 15 to 34 are murdered. Their death is related to a murder or homicide. Now, we're not going to even get into what happens when they are killed by law enforcement because those numbers have not been filtrated in this particular count, because any time someone is shot or killed, it doesn't matter who does it, it still is a murder. That's what people are not understanding. So this 40% number for 2014, this 40% number is actually higher, a little bit higher, maybe 2% or 3% higher, but that's still a high number. So right now, what we do know right now is that between the ages of 15 to 34, our black males are at risk between the ages of 15 to 34. And what we also know is as compared to our white males, okay, in that particular race, 3.8% of white males are murdered, okay? Let's see. So overall, 14% of all men between 15 to 34 who died in 2011 were murdered. That's in 2011, okay? We kind of went back because I wanted to look at some numbers. In 2011. In 2011, black males 15 to 34 were 10 times more likely to die of murder than whites. Okay? So before we get to the next problem in the other races, what I want you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is I want you to understand that our males become at risk at the age of 15. Right? From 15 to 34, that is a very at-risk time for any African-American male between the ages of 15 to 34. I just want you to write that number down, between the ages of 15 to 34, okay? The leading cause of death, and people will say duh, but it's really not duh because there's a lot, the percentage of African Americans being murdered is actually higher than this 40%, right? And many times we don't include when they're shot or killed by law enforcement. That's still murder. So right now this number does not reflect how many African American males were killed in the line of fire by a police officer. Okay, so that's the most important piece I want you to understand, is between what you need to know and what we need to know in order to take action, is that between the ages of 15 to 34, our African-American males are at risk, okay? And just know that 40% of the African-American males, right, are murdered. 40%, that's a little bit under a half. And this number, as I said before, ladies and gentlemen, does not even include when they are killed by police officers. All right? Just remember those two numbers. Let's go to the other races, which was across the board. According to the research, the greatest cause of death for all other males between the ages of 15 to 34 in all other races, such as the Caucasians, the Hispanics, from 15 to 34 is suicide. Suicide is the leading cause of death. The similarities between the African-American males and the other races is that between the ages of 15 to 34, the males are at risk. All males are at risk between those ages. For men of all ages, homicide was ranked fifth in the leading cause of death for blacks, seventh for Hispanics, and ninth for American Indians. Homicide was not one of the top 15 causes of death for whites. So what is this saying? And I want you to look up Mr. Juan Williams because he has a lot of great information concerning the statistics for how many males, doesn't matter what color, die in the streets, or how many males are murdered, okay? So what you need to know, one more time, what we need to know in order to begin to take action is that the number one cause of death in the African-American culture is murder. For all other races of males, the number one cause of death is suicide. right? Our youth and young men are at risk between the ages of 15 to 34. Currently, all right, four black men have made the national news as being shot and killed by law enforcement. And their ages, listen to the ages, 43, 22, 25, and 36. Three of these men fall into the category. Actually, this group right here, there are two standard deviations between the death rate. So actually, two of the four men, that's half, fall into the category of the ages of 15 to 34. Two of them. So that's half, which proves that this research is correct, ladies and gentlemen. The research is correct. If we take a mean or an average, the average at-risk age, one more time, I'm going to say it, for males, all males, the average at-risk age is 15 to 34. Okay? And so with that particular information, before we even get into the fact of why 15 to 34 is the at-risk age, that will be for another show, we are going to problem solve, because I want you to take this information back to your communities. I want to speak to the media. I want you to feel free to call in. I want you to feel free to come on the Love Talk Show as well, because this has to be addressed. This research out there is actually a little bit higher than what I reported, because within that particular research, we have not taken into account the young men of all colors who have been killed by police officers. This is reflective of those men who were killed by someone else in the street, someone without uniform, a regular civilian, a regular person. All right? So here it is. We're going to have to do something about this. We're going to have to do something about this particular figure. We're going to have to do something about it. So here it is. Between conception and 14 years of age, this particular concept is important. Between the ages of conception and 14. So that means once a child is actually before they're born, all the way up to age 14, we need to make sure we have these particular things in place. We need to make sure, of course, that we at least give them an opportunity to know who God is. I understand that a lot of people say, well, you know, we are Catholic or we are, you know, apostolic. That's fine. It doesn't matter what you are. You need to introduce your children to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's very important. I can't stress it enough. You need to at least expose them to that, because there is a song entitled "Jesus Be a Fence All Around Me." But the protection of God is necessary, because we never know what may happen. But if we're covered and protected by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can walk into the valley and we cannot experience anything, because we're covered by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's very important that we expose our young people to the spiritual world. We expose our young people to God and let them know who God is. It's very important. It's very critical, because when they hit 14, actually when they hit 11, I want you to write this down. When students turn 11, that is when they are really into socialism with their peers. They look up to their peers. This is a time in which they're into technology. And so in that particular time, we need to tell them who God is. We need to make sure that in their social time and technology time, we also have time for our spiritual fulfillment. And spiritual fulfillment does not mean that you continuously force someone or force Jesus Christ upon your child. But what you do is you expose them to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You give them an opportunity to accept him. You know, you give them an opportunity while they're young. Because, you know, how many of you know that when you experience something for the first time or if it's new, you know, either you're going to find out that you really like it or you don't. But I guarantee you, and this is a guarantee, that when they experience our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when they're young, they will want to continually find that favor and that grace and mercy and that feeling that the Lord is able to give them. So we have to make sure that between conception and when they're 14, that we begin to expose them to the spiritual life, which is God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Number two, education is very important between conception and 14 years old. If your child starts to school and you notice that they're being put out of school when they're in first grade, second grade, if they're having to go to the office, if they are cited or noted for being disrespectful, if they're not where they're supposed to be, if you continuously receive sad faces, or if you continuously have phone calls from teachers, multiple teachers, and the principal after hours, if you continuously have to run up to the school to meet, then that is an opportunity or a lesson that you can give your child and say education is important. And when we speak about education, we're speaking about the advancement of knowledge so that they can grow up to be productive individuals. Some students will want to start their own business, right? Some will want to go to college and they will want to work for a corporation. Some will want to go to college and be a teacher. Some will want to, as I said before, just start up their own business with their family, and that's their prerogative. But we need to make sure that we're exposing our children to education between conception and 14 years of age. You can read to your child when they're in your belly. You can do that. And when we talk about education, when you're buying your child something or your children, make sure it's educational. You know, the question needs to be, is this educational? Now, of course, you're going to have to get some things that are not educational. But make sure that there's a balance between educational things and fun things, because you want to make sure that you're teaching them at a very young age that education is important, but also having fun is important as well. And so when they become teenagers, right, they need to understand that being social with their friends is part of education, because you're going to have to communicate with your teachers and professors when you don't understand something. But they also need to understand that when I'm in class, I need to communicate with my teacher and not have side conversations with my friends, because I'm trying to learn from my teacher so that I can go out and communicate and negotiate when it comes to jobs and opportunities. So education is very important, and education can be taught on all different levels, and you can start this as soon as the child is conceived, which means that you're reading to that child, okay? And, of course, as the child advances in age, you're going to have to come up with creative ways, as I said before, to continuously dangle education in their face, because they, right now they're interested in social media, entertainment. And so at home, as a parent, as a guardian, right, we're going to have to come up with creative ways in order to continuously let them know that education is important. Talk about the next one, role models. I told you a few days ago that we're seeking Titus 2, men and women, right? We're seeking those role models. We're seeking those individuals who can be honest with our children, but yet they're living a life of honesty. We need role models that will allow our children to be innocent until they decide, when they're grown, 21, until they decide that they want to marry and have the grown folks' business. We want to make sure that we have those role models in place. We're looking for those Titus II men and women, those role models for our young people. Where are they at? Are they in your community? How many, think about right now, how many role models currently reside in your community? We need to come up with strategies and ways to protect our children in the community, because there are a lot of people who are free to move into different communities who have committed acts against children. And so we're going to have to be strategic as a community. And I'm not just talking about my community. I'm talking about your community as well, those listeners online. We're going to have to be proactive, and we're going to have to think of ways to keep our children safe. And I'm going to go to this story that I want to share with you, because I want people to understand. I want the media to understand. I want the community to understand. I want the schools to understand. This is very important, ladies and gentlemen, right? People who have done things to children, as I said before, are allowed into the community where children live. And a few weeks ago, a young girl was outside, and she decided she wanted to go to her aunt's house. She was 5 years old. And I've told this story before. And on her way there, someone snatched her up and took advantage of her and killed her. They hung her. And so stories like that is a reflection of our need to make sure that we have role models, and that we as decision makers, as board members, as mayors, we have things in place that protect our children, yet things that will not breach the rights of those who may have committed an act as well. So we have to have a balance, but at some point there has to be a line drawn. At some point, because we can't have our children unknowingly unsafe, if that makes sense. Okay? So we want to make sure that we have role models. Who are those role models in your community, and how accessible are they to you? We talk about support. What is the community doing to support the initiatives for our young people? As I said before, and a lot of people say, well, what are we doing? We're doing exactly what I'm doing right now. We're basically giving people the information. We're basically going out doing what we can do. But we really need help. We really need to get this message out. And I'm not the only one who feel this way, because a lot of people, as far as the media and as far as the news, broadcast stories like this every day about the safety of our youth and about things that are happening. And so when we talk about support, you know, we're giving the information. I'm giving the statistics. I'm throwing out different ideas. What support will the community give, such as the mayors, the policymakers, the leaders? How will we all work together to make sure that the plan for our student success is in place? There is no way that a student or a child can be conceived and be so innocent, and then all of a sudden they turn 15 and now they're at risk. Okay? I want you to, all of my people online who are policymakers and the media, I want you to write down the word conception, and I want you to draw a line under conception. I want you to put an arrow. And I want you to draw another line where that arrow is, and right under that line I want you to put 15. Okay? Conception, a line under conception, and I want you to draw an arrow from the line under conception, and I want you to draw another line. So it looks like railroad tracks, but it's conception on the top and it's 15 on the bottom. All right? That huge space that you see is what we need in order to get to age 15 and not be at risk. From conception to the age of 15, we're going to have systems in place. And this is going to take everybody. This is going to take the parents. This is going to take the community. This is going to take the church leaders. This is going to take the media. This is going to take people who are movers and shakers. This is going to take, people who are in entertainment. Because we need help. There is a huge gap between conception, as you can see, ladies and gentlemen, just from drawing that picture, all the way to age 15. There's a gap. We need spiritual counseling. We need to promote education. We need role models. We need to have names and faces. We need support. We need resources for the youth in the communities. That's what we need. And so because there's a huge gap, then this research is correct, that between the ages of 15 to 34, these young men are at risk. Why? Because there's nothing in the center that's keeping them centered. These children are unable to be centered because there's nothing that's keeping their life balanced. A mother cannot help it that she has to divorce her abusive husband or vice versa. Children are not responsible for their parents' actions. And so this particular middle part has to be filtrated with people from the spiritual community, people from the educational community, people who are considered leaders, such as your mayors, your board members, your retired individuals. And then the support. We have to have community support from stores and businesses because we're going to need supplies to work with these particular students before they reach age 15, because after they reach age 15, they're already at risk. They have a 1 in 5 chance of surviving. And so in order to break this cycle of young men who are 15 to 34 who are killed in the streets, we're going to have some leaders step up in the middle from conception to 15 years of age. So that means, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have people who are actually taking out time, parents, and making sure that you're grooming your young men to become wise men between conception and 15. And we're going to talk about the girls on the next segment. But right now we're talking about the boys because that's the hot topic. Every time you turn around, a young man has been shot, killed, murdered. Okay? Conception of 15. We're going to have that solid foundation. Draw that picture. If you're just listening now, once this particular ministry is over, draw the picture, and you will see that there is a huge gap between conception and 15 for our young men. That's proof. Okay? So we talk about support. Let's talk about direction. Within that middle circle, everyone must be on one accord. If this is Johnny up here, okay, we have to follow Johnny until he's 15. But my support group can't decide that since Johnny is 11, we're going to take some funding from this program over here and we're going to use it for something else. This has to be consistent until these young men reach the age of 15. The statistics already proves that 15 to 34, these young men are at risk. And that includes all ethnicities, whereas the African-Americans are at risk to be murdered. and the other races are at risk for suicide. That's why I said we need the support team. That's why I said we need the role models, the education, the spiritual counselors. And that's why I said we all must be on one accord. And you know I said we. I said we. And so we really need to analyze, before I get to my second point here, we really need to analyze our communities. You know, when we look at the murder rates within our own community, and then we correlate it to that nationwide, what are we missing? If we begin to work on our own community, and I'm going to tell you what the girls need, as I said before, on another ministry. But if we begin to put these things in place in our little communities, a little town like Bellmead, Texas, a little town like Waco, Texas, a big town like Houston, Texas, if we begin to put the spiritual counselors and promote Jesus Christ and promote spirituality, if we begin to promote education, you know, through having different enrichment resources available, such as when I was growing up in South Waco, my grandmother's neighborhood, the bookmobile always came every Saturday, I believe, and we would check out books. The bookmobile came to us, and so all the community kids over there would check out books. What type programs do we have like that? Absolutely none. I don't see any bookmobiles anymore. I really don't. Okay? So we really need to enhance that. We really need to have a city audit. I challenge every city to audit your city. We're not just going to put it all on the mayor, you know. But the decision makers and the policy makers really need to have an audit. You know, it's easy to say that, okay, our spiritual foundation is already set because we have so many churches. We have 10 churches in this particular city. But how many people are going to those 10 churches? How many people? What are the churches doing in the community to reach out to the people who live in that community? You don't have to spend any money to do that. All you have to do is go to the people in that particular community and let them know that you exist. You know, when you have things going on at your church, make sure you invite them, you know. And some people are not just motivated by food. Some people are motivated by knowing that you have something going on and they will show up. But you have to tell them. So just saying that I have 10 churches in my city does not, you know, place of the spirituality that we need. These churches, as I said before, must go out, and they must reach the community. When we talk about education, do we have bookmobiles? Do we have mobile libraries? Because some students, some parents can't afford to make it to the library. In Waco, I know of, and I'm including colleges as well, in Waco, I know of, let's see, we have a library at TSCC. We have a library at Baylor University. Okay. We have a library at MCC. We have a library in West Waco, East Waco. We have a library in South Waco. We don't have a library in North Waco. That would be a good place for a bookmobile. Matter of fact, that will also help our reading rates with those students. We really need a bookmobile in North Waco because we don't have a library in North Waco. The closest library in North Waco is in West Waco. What about the people who don't have transportation? So let's talk about education, promoting education. In order to promote education, guess what? We're going to have to show some things that is educational, you know, besides the schools. Well, I have 4 schools. That makes up for our educational piece. No, because those schools have certain standards. Those schools serve the students there. I'm talking about what is the community doing as far as the educational piece for our community. I propose that we bring the bookmobiles back. The bookmobiles are mobile libraries where students can, in that community, can go to a particular place while the bookmobile is parked, right, with their library card and their parent, because most of them will be underage, and they can check out a book or books. They can take them home and read them, and there are different contests going on. I really think we need a bookmobile. Role models, who are they? You know, saying that you know all of these people, what are we doing for the community? That includes me. What am I doing for the community? What am I doing besides getting on air, giving knowledge? What am I doing? Am I going out speaking? You know, am I making myself available for speaking engagements to speak to students? What am I doing? And we have to, that's a self question. Because when we talk about role models, these young men need role models from conception to age 15. It doesn't matter if you're male or female, they need a role model. Because if you're a female, they need to understand how they are supposed to treat a lady. If you're a man, they're supposed to understand what a successful man looks like. They should understand that by looking at you. Support. We talk about support. We're not only talking about monetary things. We're talking about support as, you know, listening to the needs of the community. Support as audits, because that's how we're going to break the chain or break the cycle of this violence. Getting on air and posting articles and giving opinions and having 1,000 people comment on it is not going to stop the murders of young men. This is not going to stop the suicide rate of young men. What's going to prevent it is if we have things in place. Okay? Direction. Everyone must be on one accord. As I said before, we can't get into this particular system, right, for 1 year and decide, I don't want to do this, and it's really helping these young men. We have to be consistent and continue to do it. Let's move on. When we talk about an outlet, a place of refuge, even the saints of God need a place of refuge, right? Where in the community can a young person go if they are experiencing abuse? Where can they go if they are thinking about suicide? Or do they have to drive across town? What is available in the community for that, for those particular young men? And the reason why I continuously say young men is because that's our theme today. Where is the place of refuge in the city? And churches do not count, because those are places we go for worship, and sometimes churches are closed. Most of the time churches are closed at night or in the late evenings. So where's the place of refuge, mayors and policymakers, for the city experiencing a difficult time with their child because their child is so depressed because their parents are getting ready to get a divorce, and the child doesn't want to be at the house, the child is upset. You know, the parent doesn't want to give the child up for adoption nor put the child in some type of home. So what does the city have to offer for that particular family? Okay? Do we have a hotline within the city, or do we have a hotline across town or out of town that they are able to call? All right? In the city, okay? Do we have a place that these young men can go where they will feel that they're part of a team? Or do they have to go and create a gang and create terror in the community? In your city, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. What places, what activities, what events do you have, do we have in the city? And name your city, wherever it is. Do we have available to any youth between this age We're talking about males that will make them feel as though they belong. Do you have someone leading a chess group maybe twice a week? Do you have rugby sports? Is there a facility in your city? It doesn't have to be something big like the Baylor facility, the Student Life Center. It doesn't have to be anything big like that. Do we have a facility where the youth can go and play ball, where the youth can go and participate in the city? I'm not speaking about going across town. I said in the city because some people don't have cars. I'm speaking only in the city. I know that across town and other places, there are things to do. But what do you have currently in your city that's easy to get to, accessible for most people? And when I say most, I'm talking about 90% of the people. What do you have? What do we have to offer? Or is it that we don't have anything to offer, and that's why those particular young men, as they're growing up, they join gangs and they start gangs in order to belong? Okay? I want to address a couple of things. Brokenness. Right? Children cannot help, as I said before, the condition or the circumstances nor the events that happen within their household. They have no control over that. They didn't even ask to be born to the parents that they have. So what does the community have to offer? And it goes back to the spiritual counseling for brokenness. All right? When we talk about education, education starts at the house. I said it starts at conception. But it starts at the house. Then you learn about it at the church. Then the community. And as I said before, we have to promote it through visual things such as the bookmobile. And that's something easy. You come once a week. And the students are exposed now to a plethora of books. If you look at the state, what is it that students struggle most in? Reading. And that's across the board, but it's prevalent in the African-American race with our males because they do not like to sit down, first of all, and read. So we have to promote these particular things. When we talk about role models, who are the role models in the community? Who are the people who are stepping out saying, I want to help do something on a Saturday for our youth? Who are those people? And then we ask the question, self-evaluate. Am I supporting? Okay? So we have to really think about all of these things because, as I said before, ladies and gentlemen, in the African-American race from 15 to 34, that is a very high and risky age. And we're going to talk more about why, but this is not the time. I want people to understand that we need systems in place. When we look at the other races, the number one cause of death is suicide. We're not going to even discuss why right now because we need systems in place. We're going to continuously read about, we're going to continuously look on the internet, I'm going to continuously look on Facebook, I'm going to continuously read in the newspaper and hear discussions about our youth. But we have to correct this. We can fix this particular situation. But we're unable to fix it if we just talk about it. That's just like reading a book and not understanding it. You're just reading it. You have no understanding of the theme, the lesson, or nothing else. And so the spirit realm and what God is saying is, yes, there is a gap between conception and 15 years. Even if there's one parent, whether it's the mother or father, we can still compensate for that through those things I named, the spiritual counselor, promoting education, role model, support, and direction. We can still support. We don't have any excuses Now we need to get people moving. We need mayors who are able to recruit movers and shakers. The crime may not be running rapid in your community, whether it's small or large, but I guarantee you, if you take a poll and you ask the parents, how are your males doing in your household between conception and 15 years of age, I guarantee you that at least 50% of them will tell you that we need help. It is very important, ladies and gentlemen, that in between conception and 15 years of age, we fill in that gap, because there's a huge gap. And this is how, as the Lord is revealing, our young men fall short. So by the age of 15, right, when they really begin to think that they're grown, they get out of control. Some of them, not all of them, some of them. The statistics is saying 40%. And then that's how they lose their lives. We must, I cannot stress it enough. I want everyone to hear this. I want to make myself clear. Anyone in the media, anyone who has a strong heart for our kids, I really need to hear what you have to say about this and what actions you're taking. Because as I said before, I hear a lot of people talking about it. But there's nothing being done. We need those spiritual counselors. We need the education promotion. We need the role models. We need the support, and we need the direction. We need the place of refuge. And guess what? We already have it. We just need people to put it in motion. We really need to take an audit of our community, our communities, and see if we have these things in place. If we do not have these things in place, we need to ensure that we're working towards getting these things, because 15 years from conception is not long. By the time you open up your eyes, your child, your son will be 15 years old. That's how fast these kids grow. So it's very important. So the purpose of this particular ministry talk show is to bring awareness and to give you knowledge about what our young men are facing. Right? And this does not include, as I said before, the young men killed in the line of fire by a policeman. This does not include that. We have to make sure that our young men have a foundation from conception to 15. It's a non-negotiable, ladies and gentlemen. And then at home, we need to make sure that we are following through. If these things are already accessible, we need to make sure that we're getting our young men to those places. That means church. That means getting them to those spiritual counselors. That means taking them to the bookmobile, and we're praying to God that bookmobiles will begin to run again all over this land and country. Role models, we're praying to God that people will step out in their community when they hear this broadcast and when they hear the news media. We're talking about support. We're praying to God that businesses will support. We're praying to God that families will support by helping their particular child or children. And we pray that once all these people get together, that everyone goes in the right path and everyone is on one accord and everyone is able to get along and everyone's able to take these young men and help them live to be prosperous and not fall in someone's hands. Very important, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very important. This particular segment of where do we go from here? Do we walk away or keep on trying? The answer is we keep on trying, because the Lord has revealed to us that there is a gap. He has revealed to us that we must step up. And you don't have to be the one who is on every team, but at least be on someone's team. help bring these young men up to be young men of standard, to understand how to treat young ladies, whether it be their mothers, whether it be their sisters, whether it be their wives, their aunts, how to treat young ladies, how to treat elderly ladies, how to treat middle-aged ladies. These young men need to understand that, and they understand that through different things that are set up, teachings and guidance. Okay? So I want you to know, and I'm reaching out to anyone who wants to come on the talk show or anyone who wants to come on the ministry, because it's time out for talking. We're going to have to start taking action. And it starts within the cities. These are easy things to implement. They're very easy to implement. But guess what? They're going to take a lot of hard work. And I know I just said they're easy to implement, meaning that after you get the people together, it's going to be easy, just like clockwork, to make it work. And we have to make this work because we want to save our young men. We want to save all of our youth. We want to have systems in place when our young men, it doesn't matter what color they are, when they feel like they can't take it anymore, when they're depressed or suicidal, there must be a place in the city that they can go to. They shouldn't have to go all across town to find a place of refuge. What if they can't make it across town? What are they going to do? Just suffer? We have to have things in the city. Taxpayers already pay for many things. But there are grants out there, right? Cities have monies allocated. You know, there are fundraisers. There are people out there who are willing to help as long as everything is accounted for. But we have to take the initiative and get the ball rolling. Allow people to see some results, and then people will have buy-in. But sitting on the radio, sitting on Facebook, writing newspaper articles, writing magazine articles, giving speeches without action is not going to help bring the number down. Matter of fact, it's going to increase it because the generation of people, right, is getting larger. And so that means that we're having a lot of boys being born. And so it's very important that we begin to take action and put these things in place. And I pray that when I'm 120 years old, God's will, that I'm not sitting on the radio still talking about let's put some systems in place. We need to begin to do this now because time waits on nobody. And each time we have a birthday or each day we're getting older. And so we need to go ahead and take action. And we need to make sure that we begin to get the ball rolling, okay? So I wanted to read that. And I wanted to say that we keep trying. We don't walk away. We have to keep trying because there are many more young men between conception and 15 who have not made it there yet. Some young men are just born, and some are 11 and 12, and some are almost 15. So we have to make sure that we begin setting these things in place so that they can have access to it, okay? All right. Before we begin the announcements, I want to play He is Faithful Unto You by Miss Karen, because God is faithful, and I want you to understand that He is faithful. I recommend that if you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you begin to know Him. I'm not forcing the Lord on you, but I'm telling you that your life will be much better when the Lord is in your life. You will be, you will experience more peace, favor, grace, and mercy. If you have children between the ages of conception and 15, I'm asking tonight that you begin praying for this vision that the Lord has given. I can't pull off this vision by myself. I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need you to look at your own city. And I'm going to need you to give your mayors and your policymakers this information. And they can see the information as well. It's research-based. It's nothing made up. Give them this information. And I urge you, I encourage you to let them know that it's very important that we have spiritual counselors, we promote education, that we know who our role models are, that we know where our support is coming from, and that we all be on one accord. Okay? And so it's very important. But I want to play He is Faithful, because God is faithful. And I want you to listen to this song. And I want you to think about your day to day. And I want you to think about how how good God is going to be to us the rest of this week. So this is Ms. Karen Showell with He is Faithful.
Been so faithful to me. In my moments of fear, through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. Was all gone when my heart had no song. Still in love, He's proved faithful to me. Every word He's promised is true. Waiting with His arms open and
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Miss Karen Showell. Please check her out, and thank you so much for listening to the Love Live Jesus Ministry. I have a couple of announcements to make. Please be sure to continue to encourage, uplift, and empower your family and friends by asking them, telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/FredaLove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FredaLove. Gospel artists, artists, promoters, writers, actors, actresses, songwriters, publicists, community leaders, mayors, politicians, positive community leaders, please, please connect with Alfreda Love on Facebook or in person, as most people that I encounter along the way. I would love, love, love to have you on the ministry. You can Facebook me at ALFREDALOVE or FREDALOVE, or you can email me at EMONYA_love@yahoo.com. I would love, love, love to have you on the ministry. In addition to that, make sure you're praying for 200 individuals. If you have to pray for all of your family members, put them all on one line and pray for them one by one, and do not forget to pray for yourself. In addition to that, make sure that you mark your calendars for October 17th and 18th, where we will have the Miss Oprah Winfrey in Houston, Texas. I would love to see you there. Make sure that you continue to watch the Facebook page. It's Alfreda Love. That's ALFREDALOVE. And also connect with me on the other page, I Got to Have Faith. And I also have another page that individuals are going to as well. So make sure you connect with me. On tomorrow, we will have the Miss Liz Black from WBLS. And she is from New York. And so we're going to welcome her on tomorrow to the Love Lift Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. And we're excited and delighted to have her join us. And then I will give you the schedule for the rest of the week. So be sure to come back on tomorrow, because I do not want you to miss a treat. In addition to that, I really appreciate my family and friends, and most of all God, for allowing me the opportunity to come on the ministry one more time. And I thank God for his divine grace and his mercy that he's given, not only unto me, but unto the people. And I continue to pray for you and ask that you would do the same for me. So if someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up, because God is love. And until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. This is Dr. Love with the Love Lift Jesus Ministry, where Jesus shines with love. Goodbye, everybody.
Oh, yeah. You have been tuned in to the finest talk show ministry on the internet. The Love Lift Up Jesus Ministry. Featuring your host, Dr. Alfreda Love. Reminding you to be diligent in your prayers as you pray for someone this week. We say goodbye as we depart from the airwaves, but reminding you that we never, ever depart from the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is his word. And on that, you can depend. Always remember that Jesus Christ has your back, and there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus.